Congress has passed a pandemic relief bill of roughly $900 billion aimed at helping the country through a difficult winter and into a new year. As COVID-19 vaccines are rolled out across the U.S., major pharmacy and grocery chains are preparing to serve as vaccination sites and rushing to staff up.
Really trying to get out there and just appeal to people and kind of say that this is almost your patriotic duty to come step up and help.
We'll look at the logistics involved in getting ready to assist in vaccine distribution. And how Corona, the beer brand, fared this year after an unfortunate name association with the virus behind the pandemic. It's Tuesday, December 22nd. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. And this is What's News. The House and Senate last night overwhelmingly approved a roughly $900 billion coronavirus relief package for households and businesses, ending months of negotiations to break a deadlock among lawmakers. The program includes direct $600 payments for many Americans and $300 in enhanced weekly unemployment benefits. The package is part of a broader spending bill that will fund the government through September. The bill now heads to President Trump, who is expected to sign it into law. Earlier in the day, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told CNBC that Americans could begin receiving the direct $600 payments soon.
People are going to see this money the beginning of next week. So it's very fast.
In a tweet, President-elect Joe Biden said he applauds the new aid package, but, quote, our work is far from over. And as part of that larger spending bill, Congress also approved significantly tighter rules for accepting jetliner designs. The move is the final step in locking in safety overhauls put in motion by a pair of deadly Boeing 737 MAX jet crashes. It sets the stage for the most sweeping changes in decades for how the Federal Aviation Administration assesses and approves new plane models. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said yesterday that two airlines have agreed to require a negative COVID-19 test from passengers traveling from the UK. This comes after several countries banned travel from the UK over the spread of a new, apparently highly infectious strain of COVID-19. The U.S. so far hasn't imposed any similar travel restrictions, and officials have said they don't know if the new variant is in the U.S. or if it is more contagious than other strains. The Wall Street Journal is exclusively reporting key details from the antitrust lawsuit filed last week by 10 states against Google. The complaint as filed cites internal company documents that were heavily redacted. But the journal reviewed part of a recent unredacted draft version of the suit that says Google and Facebook agreed to, quote, cooperate and assist each other if they ever face antitrust investigations into their joint online advertising practices. The lawsuit accuses Google of running an illegal digital ad monopoly and enlisting Facebook in an alleged deal to rig ad auctions. The complaint says Google and Facebook were aware that their agreement could trigger antitrust investigations and discussed how to deal with them. A Google spokesperson said such agreements over antitrust threats are extremely common. Google and Facebook have both disputed the lawsuit's allegations. We're also exclusively reporting that MGM, the movie studio that's home to the James Bond franchise, is exploring a sale. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The closely held studio is betting that its library will prove attractive to companies pursuing growth in streaming video. MGM has a market value of around $5.5 billion, based on privately traded shares and including debt, some of the people said. Investors are watching a stream of potentially market-moving news as they try to anticipate the impact on a range of assets, from stocks and currencies to crude. Joining me to help sort through it all is markets editor Quentin Webb in Hong Kong. Good morning, Quentin.
Good morning, Keith.
So, Quentin, with Congress finally passing a new coronavirus relief package amid all the downbeat news surrounding the pandemic, what sort of reaction could we see in U.S. stocks?
Well, I'm sure at the margin this is likely to be viewed as a positive. But there isn't a great deal of market action, at least in Asian trading hours, in U.S. futures. So perhaps whatever benefit this package brings is already to some extent priced in. And there are, of course, people, you know, particularly on the Democrat side in the U.S., who would say that this bill doesn't really go far enough, that whilst it's a useful stopgap for the next few weeks, in the medium term, there needs to be a bigger package to address the fallout from the coronavirus.
And then there's oil, which has had a rough year overall, in part because of the pandemic's economic fallout. How is that market looking right now?
Right. So not just a rough year, but an extraordinarily volatile one. And actually, in recent weeks, oil has come back quite a lot, traded up through $50 a barrel. What we're seeing this week is fresh pressure on oil. And that comes, of course, because of these new travel restrictions that are being implemented surrounding the UK. That sense that maybe we're not quite as far from the end of the pandemic as we thought we were, even if vaccines are now emerging.
The British pound has come under pressure recently, too. What's driving that?
So a couple of things pushing the pound down against other currencies. One, of course, this economic shock that you might expect from Britain being at the center of this new kind of troubling resurgence in the coronavirus. And the second thing is we still don't really have full clarity on what the terms that Britain will trade with the European Union will be once their Brexit transition period ends, which is coming up quite shortly.
Quentin Webb in Hong Kong, thanks very much.
Thank you, Keith.
Coming up after the break, as COVID-19 vaccines are rolled out in the U.S., pharmacy and grocery chains are racing to add more employees to meet anticipated demand. As COVID-19 vaccines are rolled out across the U.S., major pharmacy and grocery chains are preparing to serve as vaccination sites. But there's a question of whether the companies will find enough workers to administer the shots. So they've been racing to hire pharmacists and technicians to meet the expected demand. For more on this, our Charlie Turner spoke with WSJ reporter Sharon Turlip.
So Sharon, how big a hiring spree are we talking about?
You know, it's a big hiring spree. It's tens of thousands. Walgreens alone is looking to hire about 25,000 people. And then you consider you have CVS, other grocery store pharmacies, independent pharmacies, and really everybody's looking to hire pharmacists and pharmacist technicians.
Well, what are the companies doing to find and attract candidates?
They're doing lots of things. They're putting out ads. CVS put out an ad kind of to the masses just saying we're urgently hiring pharmacists and technicians. They're offering signing bonuses, better pay, really trying to get out there and just appeal to people and kind of say that this is almost your patriotic duty to come step up and help.
What are the challenges these companies face in ramping up hiring?
Competition, really, because everybody's looking for the same thing. And depending on the type of company, that really dictates how tough it'll be in many cases. The big chains are out there. They have deeper pockets. We're hearing from some smaller pharmacies, from some grocery store chains. They're saying they're already having a hard time recruiting people.
Sharon, what about qualifications? Are there enough people qualified to administer the vaccines?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people out there, and recently, depending on the state, the rules have changed so that pharmacy technicians, which don't require, a pharmacist requires a doctorate, a pharmacy technician does not. In more and more cases, they're able to give shots as well. So there's a really big pool of people out there who can administer vaccines.
Is there a risk of the companies over or under hiring, depending on demand for the shots?
You know, a lot of the companies, if you even look at the help wanted boards online, if you see the language and talks to folks out in the job market, they're being pretty transparent about the fact that these are temporary jobs. They're likened to kind of almost retailers when they hire for the holidays. So I think the risk isn't high. I think a lot of companies are looking at these as temporary hires. Certainly, there's some long-term hiring that's going on as well. But I think companies are setting themselves up to be pretty flexible.
So given that most of these jobs aren't going to stick around after the vaccine has been distributed, there might be some skepticism on the part of would-be hires. I know you talked to one person who'd been a pharmacist for many years, but was really sort of skeptical about coming back.
Yeah. And I think that's the flip side of these retailers having flexibility. flexibility for the employer means uncertainty for the employee. So a lot of pharmacists, if you know who we've talked to, if you look on kind of boards where they're, you know, where pharmacists are going to chat with each other, there's a lot of sense that, like, yeah, there's jobs, but they're temporary jobs. The pharmacist I talked to is in retirement, and he was actually laid off from Walgreens over the summer, and he has not been directly asked back, but said, you know, I wouldn't go back just to administer shots for a few months.
Sharon, taking a more macroeconomic view of the situation, what has the job market for pharmacists been like in recent years, and has it changed during the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I mean, the job market demand for pharmacists has gone up slightly, but because there was a shortage some 10 years ago, there was huge demand about a decade ago. Pharmacy schools, you know, they raised enrollment, new schools opened. So there's just an overabundance of pharmacists coming out of school. So there's more pharmacists than there are jobs right now. So the market has not been good. I think it's yet to be seen the long-term effect of COVID. I mean, certainly there was, CVS, Walgreens, others hired tens of thousands of people already as they administered tests. And so certainly there are more jobs. How long those jobs are going to stick around and the impact they'll have on that sector is yet to be seen.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sharon Turlip. Thanks a lot, Sharon.
Thank you.
And finally, earlier in the year when news of the pandemic first broke, there was much talk about the plight of Corona, the beer brand. How could the company shake off any unwanted association with the coronavirus due to the unfortunate name overlap? Well, the results are in. It turns out this year was not so different after all. In-store spending on Corona-branded beer and hard seltzer in the U.S. has essentially remained unchanged from the previous year. Marketing executives for the brand attribute its performance to keeping a low profile for most of the year, the brand's popularity and familiarity, and not drawing added public attention to the name overlap. And that's What's News for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. You can stay up to date with all our latest stories on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Keith Collins with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.